speaking, God started showing me something, and I knew I was due to speak this week, and I thought, oh, that sounds pretty straightforward. I think I understand that. But since I've been to Romania, God really has started to open things up to me, and I've really got a better understanding or a revelation of it. Before, I sort of thought, well, it sounds in general a good thing, and then he showed me just the importance of what I'm going to speak about. But then I thought, well, this is wonderful to share, but I don't really see the relevance of it for the fellowship. It's a really good thing to talk about, but I didn't understand the relevance. And you know, when everything just seems to, all the signs are out there, but for some reason I'd just not seen it, and God really had to sort of bang me over the head with a sledgehammer to get it home, because things that he's shown me, I don't know how I'd not tied it all together, but I hadn't. And then on Friday night, God really started to show me the relevance of how it's so important for this fellowship, and he finally managed to get me to pay attention to what he wanted. So I think I'm there now. But I will share with you another time about Romania, because there's just so much to tell you about all the wonderful things that's happening over there, and explain it all and tell you a bit more background about it. But I had a really wonderful time in Romania, and God, it's as though he started to open doors. I started to feel as though I was moving forward with what's been happening, and it's a really exciting time for me. This word's really exciting for me. And what I want to speak to you about is about singing a new song unto the Lord. Now, looking through the Bible, I started to see that, you know, there are very few people who truly know how to sing to the Lord. Anybody can sing, but it's singing. It's knowing how to sing to the Lord, and it's all tied up in this new song. And when I was looking in the Old Testament, there were very few people that tended to speak about new things in there. But where it seemed to figure mostly was either in the Psalms. It's in the Psalms quite a lot. David really had got a grasp of new things and about singing a new song. But also some of the Old Testament prophets had got a grasp about this new song and about new things. In fact, it was the Old Testament prophets that were telling the people about the new thing that which was to come, which was Jesus and the new covenant. And in the New Testament, surprisingly, there are very few people that would talk about the new things of God. You would find it would be Jesus and his disciples. I've written this here, and this really encapsulates what I want to speak about today, so I'm just going to read this paragraph out to you. God waits expectantly to hear a new song from his people. He waits for a time when his people will learn to worship him in spirit and truth. For a time when his people will bring with them a precious anointing that saturates everything it touches, that sheds light in dark places, that is a sweet-smelling savour permeating his throne room and flowing from his throne room, as we who are seated in heavenly places sing a new song that touches all creation. Looking in the Psalms, it's David that speaks quite a lot about singing a new song to the Lord. And it got me thinking about when he decided he was going to retrieve the ark and take it back up to its rightful place. And along the way, he tried to do it a new way. We know about how he tried to put it on the cart, and the fact that because he'd not done it the right way, with the right intentions, someone had died as a result of that. But that didn't put David off, because if you read throughout his Psalms, those Psalms are all about how hungry and thirsty he is to know more about God. He wants to press into the fullness of God, and he wants to be right there beside him. And the thing that David did, which was a totally new thing, was when he actually got the ark back and he placed it in a tent where people worshipped before it 24 hours a day. That was a new thing, and that was people worshipping in the presence of their God. But then what happened was the ark went, Solomon's temple was built. And that was a promise that God had made, that he would never be away from his people. But God's grace was sufficient for people to actually be there in his presence. And David, of all people, knew about how great his grace was sufficient for that. And yet we moved back into the old. We'd moved from the new back into the old. And it became a place, Solomon's temple, unfortunately, where God was partitioned off from his people. Yeah. And we were still operating into this sacrifice regime where it was only the blood that would cover. And as happens all the way throughout the Bible, people slipped back and they were quite happy not to come into God's presence at all. They just wanted to go in and do the religious acts that they needed to do each year. I'm going to read Psalm 96 that talks about the new song. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Now in the Amplified, in that last section... it says that he comes to judge and govern the earth. And that's something that, you know, it doesn't quite bring out in the King James Version, but we need to bear that in mind. God came to judge and to govern the earth. And since I've been in Romania, I've really seen what God does when he hears his people sing a new song. And like I've just spoken about David and how they went back to the old ways with the Temple of Solomon, I'm not going back. When you've experienced the new, you really can't go back. Now, when on the whole journey to Romania from the start, it was as though something was saying, you're not welcome here. It was as though the enemy really tried to thwart every single move. We had a real pain getting into the country as baggage was lost. There was umpteen different problems with flights and we had to be rerouted. And it turned out we were on the go for 26 hours. And it was, you know, by that time I thought, something doesn't want us here. But it got to that point as well where I sort of decided that it's definitely worth coming for, and I'm gonna make sure that I get out of this and we see what we need to see. Sort of makes you dig in when you see someone's trying to, you know, that something good's happening. But when I actually got to Janice's house, there's a massive area of land that she's got, and the first thing that she wanted to do was to build this volleyball court. And before she'd gone to England, she'd had all the earth, it had all been rotivated, all the weeds and everything stripped back, and it was all prepared, ready for when we got back, the volleyball court would be built, the sand was being delivered while she was away, everything should have been ready to go and all prepared. But when we got back, within that 3 weeks, Janice was just, she saw it and she was absolutely devastated because it was back in the state it had been before she left. There were the grasses had grown up, you'd got big thorns and bushes up to about here. And as you walked along it, as she was taking me down even the front of the garden to get into the back field, you were tripping up over brambles, there were ditches and dips and everything, and it was just as though it was the Lamb was saying, "Don't want you here. This isn't going to happen. We're going to make this as difficult as possible for you." And I could see from the off as we went down there that the land was cursed. But, I mean, I'd never had to deal with anything like that before. I didn't know how to deal with it. And I thought, you know, it seems as though the land's so unforgiving. And I'd been praying about it, how we should deal with it. And Janice has had loads of people come and pray over this land, you know, to try and break strongholds and everything. And yet, in the natural, it just looked like whatever it was that had got this stronghold was saying, "No chance, not having it. This land is just going to fight you every step of the way." Now, I knew that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, we wrestle against principalities and powers. But to start with, I was really feeling as though it was the ground's fault. And God showed me that he was sort of saying, "How dare you think that any of my creation is at fault? It's not the earth at all. You need to be praying against the principalities and powers. And you need to be blessing that land. And you need to be sowing God's life, so my life into that, my fruit into that land, my being into that land, and call that creation back to how it was." And it just felt that whole area was like it was in limbo, as though time just didn't happen there. And that was exactly what the enemy wanted. It just wanted it to be this square of land that didn't move forward, didn't move back, it just stayed there. But we decided we were going to do some praying and over the land, and it came to me that it says that one will put, is it 1,000 to fly, but two will put 10,000 to fly. But this area of land, it was you could just feel that it was absolutely crawling with the devil and his work, that there was far more than 10,000, and that's why it needed constant prayer. And we went out there and we were praying over the land, and then the next thing we knew, we were singing and speaking in tongues, but then we were singing. And I mean, the neighbours over there, singing's not something that you tend to do. You don't, when you do it at church, you stand in your pew stock still as well. And so I think they thought we were a bit crazy and they were turning their noses up. But we were singing over that land, and we did it regularly. And we'd go out in the evening and we'd get attacked by mosquitoes. I'd be batting them back with my bookmark while I've got my Bible in one hand. But we worked on that land, and I just really felt it was like we were doing the breaking up, but then you were tending the soil, you were having to water the soil. And all that's not stopped now. It needs so much more, because that soil has got to be absolutely rich for everything to take hold and do as God wants in the spiritual and in the natural. But this Psalm 96 at the end, I mean, it starts about singing unto the Lord a new song, but it talks at the back about the sea and about the wood and the trees rejoicing. And that is creation. And in many of the Psalms, it talks about how the land, how the sea, how the fields clap their hands and rejoice because of their creator. And you might think I'm crazy, but I felt that land start to respond. When we were praying and when we were singing, that land responded. And it made me think about, it's Romans 8:22. It says, "For we know that all creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now." And that's the state of the land. You know, although Jesus has been and he's redeemed everything back to us, the problem is that we're not acting as though it's all been redeemed back to us. And the devil's riding roughshod. He's got no power whatsoever unless we give it him. But that's what we've allowed to happen. And as we began to speak and we were singing that new song, I really do believe we'd entered into, so when we were singing, it was something I'd not experienced before, and singing that new song, that earth responded. It was as though it was starting to, you could almost breathe in again, you know, the soil was breathing again, and it was starting to respond, and it was trying, you know, it was desperately trying to respond. It wasn't that it was sort of trying to obstruct, that was the principalities and powers. This land had been waiting for someone just to come and give it that breath of life, and it responded in a mighty way. When I was looking through the Psalms, I started to see, you know, in all the Psalms where it talks about a new song, David speaking about salvation and righteousness, and that's the beginning of the new song, to know that you have been saved by the Lord and to know his righteousness. That is the very start of the new song. It also taught, these are some of the benefits when you start to sing the new song. The Lord will bring counsel, the counsel of the heathen, to naught. And he maketh the devices of the people have none effect. All this is through singing a new song. And then this, in the Amplified, I know this is one of Philip's favourite ones. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his heritage. And that starts off with singing a new song in that psalm. Also, it says, behold, the Lord's eye is upon those who fear him, who wait for him, and hope in his mercy and loving kindness to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. These are the things that all start. Knowing his salvation, accepting his righteousness, and moving into the new things of God and singing out that new song. Now, when I was first born again and I came here to Harvest Fields, I remember the very first message that God gave me. And I knew that I had to share it. And I remember I was so nervous because I just thought, I can't do this. I can't stand in front of all these people and give this message. And I remember bringing it to Andrew and he said, share it. But the first thing that God gave me, it was the first time I'd really had God speak to me. He sort of spoke to me in the past, but really to bring a message through me and to explain things to me. And I was so pleased that he'd even, you know, he'd chosen to speak to me. But what he showed at first was a golden harp that was being tuned. And he'd said that I was the harp and he was tuning me so that he could play me. But then he opened it up about Harvest Fields, the fellowship, and he spoke about an orchestra. And how we were all a part of that orchestra. And it spoke about Andrew was he was playing the drum section because he was keeping us all in beat. And listening, and that was the heartbeat of God. And we'd got Grace, who was every instrument imaginable. She was the accompaniment. So wherever she could hear something needed a little tweak and a tune, she'd be like race into another part of the orchestra and she'd play the triangle, or she'd disappear off somewhere else and play the castanets. But wherever it needed a tweak and a tune to bring us into that perfection, Grace would be there. But what God showed me about this orchestra at the end was he was lining us all up, and it was like looking at the Salvation Army, and we were all in twos. Once we'd practiced and once we got it right, that song, and I really believe that is what he wants with us, to bring us to a point where we are singing the new song that creation needs to hear. That was when he sent us out two by two. And I really believe that is something that he wants with Harvest Fields, and why he's sort of brought it to my remembrance about that message right at the very beginning. I didn't understand that then, but I'm starting to see it now. And that came to my remembrance on Friday, because we were at the leaders' meeting, and as Andrew's already mentioned, I mean, I wasn't here on Sunday, but they said about how the lady at from the Open Doors had said how wonderful the worship had been and that we'd come to give. And that is all about this singing a new song. You're coming to give to God. You're just wanting to let him know how much you love him. And that's what sort of started to bring all this together, really. But I think that as I say, what he wants to see is he's training us to sing this new song, and he wants us to take back the land. But when we speak about land, I've just been given an instance about Janice and the land that she's got. I'm not just on about the physical land, but I know that when we speak about land, in that this is our land as well, and it's taking back this land, you know, where the devil's tried to run roughshod in our lives and take over our land. And we need to say, no, we're going to sing this new song to creation. I am as much creation as the earth is, and put it right and let it know who is the ruler of this creation. I want to look at Isaiah 62, and I'm going to read verses 1-5. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, which is my delight is in her, and thy land Beulah, which is married. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. What I didn't realise is when we were singing over that land in Romania, what we were causing to happen by singing that new song, God was rejoicing over his land. And that is a really powerful thing. If God is rejoicing over the land, there's no one going to mess with that land. And we need to see more of that. Nothing can stand in the path of a God, our God, the one and only God, who rejoices in the land and rejoices in his people. When we're dealing with people, you know, for all the right reasons, we might want to see something happen. But it's so easy for us to get tied up in just looking. Like I mentioned about the land, I felt the land, it was all the land's fault. And when you're dealing with people, you might see the symptoms of what's happening in the person, but sometimes we have no comprehension of what the cause is of those symptoms. And we try to deal with the symptom, and that's not going to sort anything out, because we need to deal with the root of the problem and the cause, and there's only God that can sort that out. But if we allow God to sort that out, there's no casualties, because he will just bring it up by the root. God loves all new things. He loves new songs, he loves new things, he loves new beginnings, he loves new names, he loves giving his people a new life. And I just want to read Lamentations to you. It's Lamentations 3, verse 22-23. I read it in the Amplified. It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. God is so good that his mercy and his compassion never runs out. It is new every morning. And this is again tied in with the new song, like I'd spoke about with David. He knew about God's mercy and compassion being new every morning, because he messed it up enough times. But each time he went back and he said to God, you know, please sort it out. I'm laying it all here for you, and I'm sorry, and I've done wrong, and we'll start again. And he knew about God's grace, and that's why he had moved into the new things of God, because he was acting on that grace. If we have a look at Isaiah 65, I'm going to read 17-25. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labour in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now, I mentioned earlier about God multiplying blessings. When you speak on the over, we were speaking over that land, and it wasn't just adding and adding and adding. I could see that it was multiplying. We talk about one putting 1,000 to flight and 2 to 10,000 flight, and that's how God works with multiplication. Now, we've seen here that is what God was doing in here. He was talking about, he was doing a new thing, and he was going to make sure that his people weren't sowing and not seeing the fruit, and they weren't having the land cursed, and they weren't seeing the fullness of the days. God's intention for his people is that they will be blessed and blessed abundantly, and they shall see the fullness of the days, and even to the point where they've not even asked, but God knows what it is, and it's coming in. And I saw this happening, you know, before I left, to say that we'd arrived and everything had gone wrong. We couldn't get hold of anything. The sand had been delivered and we didn't even think the sand was going to be enough to fill the volleyball court. We'd had all kinds of problems. The earth was so hard, so we'd not got as much done as what we'd expected, and it was so hot. And we were really struggling even to get help from the young people to come and help us. And, you know, I said to Janice, we'll just start on our own and we'll just go and we'll start and do as much as we can. But as we were getting towards the back end of my stay there, God was answering before we'd even asked. You know, we'd spoke about the sand and we'd said, well, we'll not worry about that at the moment because we've got to get the plastic down first. But one day we had arrived, we'd been to market, and as we were coming back up, who's next door dropping some things off but the sandman? So I went and collared him, and he was like, oh, right, if you need some more sand, no trouble. I'm glad I've seen you, because I've got a cancellation. We can get it in the next few days. So we got the sand. The man actually turned up at our doorstep. If you try to do anything by telephone there, you get pushed to the back of your queue and you're waiting and waiting and waiting. But the sandman even turned up on his doorstep, so he couldn't avoid that. She'd been trying to get some wood for months and months. It was like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. So we prayed about it, and we rang. Everything has to be done. The males have to do everything. They don't listen to the ladies. So we'd got, a pastor was ringing up about the wood, and he said, I'm going in to complain. Went in to complain, and they said, it's going to be with you next Thursday, we promise. So that was coming bang on the day that we needed it. The children started turning up to work. You'd hear a knock at the door. They were turning up with their own tools. We've come to finish the volleyball court. There had been rain, so the earth was easier to work. We even used all the soil to fill in a ditch to make things easier. And what I'm trying to say is God was sending the answer before we even asked for it. And to the point where, because we prayed and we'd sang a song over that earth was saying, I'm going to help as much as I can. What can I do to help? And everything was working for getting this volleyball court going. And it's just so wonderful to see. You know, I can see how God was showing me pictures of what it's going to be like, that place, when it's finished. And it's going to be a place full of laughter. And you don't get laughter much in Romania, but I could just see in every room there would be people. And You know, if they do things, they expect to get paid because they're so poor. But I could see how God was working on them and they would be coming to give. They would be coming out of a heart to give, not for any payment. And that is, he's turning that area into an area that will start to sing that new song. And it will just germinate from there. I could see how it was just going to go out and out and out. But we need to, when we start something off, we need to make sure that we see it through. You know, it's all right, you can see things are going nicely, but we don't just sort of turn us back and say, right, that's that, what's the next? I really feel like God was saying, you know, we need to continue praying over that area and supporting that area. And he reminded me of, is it in Nehemiah where they're building up the walls? And he was saying, you know, all too often in church life, we start, get something sorted off and you might see like a building start to go up and we're off then and we move on to the next thing. And what God was saying is, you're ruining these buildings that haven't even been built are turning into ruins because you're not getting the walls up, you're not getting the place protected, you're not allowing this area to become self-sufficient before you move off. And you're just abandoning these people. We need to get them to a place of self-sufficiency. And then they get to the place where they're giving to other people. And it's the multiplication effect. And what he was showing me was that if we sing a new song to creation, it will respond. It will respond to God's mercy. It'll respond to that salvation I was talking about, to that righteousness. And that is fresh every morning. When that happens, creation can respond back and that will start to join in the song. And that is the effect that we want to see. We want to see the whole earth joining in the song. It talks in the Psalms, it talks in Revelation, it talks in Isaiah about how the whole world will bow the knee to God and how it will join in and worship him and sing that song. And that is where we're going. We need to get people to start singing this new song. I want to look at Ezekiel 11, verse 19. I'll read it in the Amplified. And I will give them one heart, a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. And I will take the stony, unnaturally hardened heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of their God. Amen. Now that is just the beginning when God gives us a new heart. We give our life to the Lord and we become a new creation. I don't know if people can remember, but a few weeks ago I'd shared about this picture that I'd seen while I was here in worship and how God was talking to me about the pearl of greatest prize. And you automatically, when you think about a pearl, you think about this heart, you think about the pearl and how it's got such a hard crust. But this that I'm speaking about here, the soft heart that's taking all the stony hardness, that is the pearl of greatest price to God because he can work with that. Whatever that heart is soft and open to be taught by God and to feel the things of God and the Spirit of God, that is the pearl of greatest prize because while ever God can move in your life, he can start to renew you. And even though when we're born again, yes, we are new creations and we have a new heart, there could be years and years of all the old stuff that we're still caught up in that we've not sort of got the revelation of that that's all rubbish. And it can be so easy for us to go back into that state where we start to harden our hearts. We might not want to get hurt, so we start to harden our hearts. But we can't have a mix. It just doesn't work. And there will always be casualties if we have a mixture of the old and the new. And just to sort of show you about that, if we can turn to Luke 5, and verses 36 to 39. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Now I could see that this particular in Romania was the case, because the way the church services, it's all sort of really super religious. They do it religiously every week in a certain way, and they don't like to see the new. And, you know, it was saying here, once men have drunk old wine, straight away, they don't desire the new, because they say, they'll always say the old things are the better. And that's human nature. We, you know, we say, oh, we preferred it that way. We don't want to move into new things. But it also talks about if we're going to have new wine, which is the Holy Spirit, and actually have that new wine pouring out of us, it has got to be in a new wineskin. And I was talking about this mixture. We can't have a mixture of the old and the new. And so that is why it's so important that our hearts stay open to God, because he needs to renew the vessel that the new wine is going to be poured into. So it starts off, we have a new heart, and we realise we're a new creation. And the next thing is this new song that I'm talking about. When you realise, when you have something to praise God about, and you see what God's doing in your life, that is when this new song starts to flow out of you. And it's not just singing for singing's sake. It's actually singing because, like David, you were hungering and thirsting after more, and you love God so much, you just want to sing this song to him. And I know that we've been taught in the past about tongues, speaking in tongues, and how that exalts your body, it lifts your body up. And that's the first thing that we need to do. We need to be speaking to our bodies the new things of God. And I know for me, when I start speaking in tongues, sometimes if you don't know what to pray, I'll pray in tongues. And although I don't know what I'm saying, I know that by praying in tongues, it is saying exactly what needs to be said. You're speaking in mysteries to God. But it moves on from that. And often when I've been speaking in tongues, if I don't know what to pray about, as I'm speaking in tongues, I start to get, God will start revealing to me things that how I do need to pray, and he will give me wisdom. And then you can act on that wisdom. So you can see how it all starts off. You've got your new heart, your new creation, your new song, and it's altering you all the time, and you're responding. And the next thing that will happen as that starts to flow out of us, this new wine comes out as a new song to creation, then we move into what will come out for the nations. And if we can have a look at Ezekiel 47, verse 12. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to its months, because the waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So when we get to that place where we're singing that new song and it's pouring out of us and the new wine, then we start to see the new fruit, the fruit of God, amen, manifesting in people's lives. And it is there for meat, and it is there as medicine to the nations. And that is why, that is all about this new song. It is, when it's poured out over all creation, creation cannot help but respond to it. And you will see God's fruit manifest in that creation, whether it be a person, whether it be the land. As I mentioned in Romania, you know, with the worship, we went to a church on the Sunday, and Janice assures me that this church in Kurand is actually quite forward thinking for a lot of the places. And yet, you've got a lot of the older folk that are so set against anything new. And the pastor there, Pastor Daniel, is a wonderful, wonderful man, and he's got such a lovely family. He's got a young son and a son-in-law that are sort of doing wonderful things with the youth there. And the son-in-law is actually a pioneer, and he goes around the country with his wife and his little baby boy, Timothy. And they... he really sort of tells people straight, and he's really moving in the spirit, and you can see all these shocked faces, but he's just, it's so refreshing to hear them speak, and it's something that they're just not accustomed to in Romania. They don't, you know, it's like, whoa, oh no, this is not religious, this is not respectful, but that family, I can see that they are singing a new song. And that the daughter, Alexandra, when she sings, she really sings. And she, when they have the church service, what you have to do the week before is you will go up and it's like sort of write a request. This is what I'm going to bring next Sunday. So, and it's lovely in a way, you know, people bring poems, they'll sing a song, they'll bring a reading. But it all has to be organised. There's no, you know, you can't just break into song. It's a bit, how dare you? You've not been, you know, you're not on the list. And it was so sad in a way, but I could still feel God's presence. It was there and he was ready to break in at any moment. You know, he just wanting to see the people's hearts, and he was right there. But Alexandra, when she sang and it was beautiful. And she was really singing to the Lord, and it really blessed me. And while we went there for dinner afterwards, and it was such a beautiful family. The house was just, it was filled with love. And they were a family full of God's people, all working for God. They were, you know, Alexandra's hoping to come to Bible college in England. Daniel, the young lad, he's getting married shortly, and they're setting up where they're trying to set up youth groups in the area. And you've got Cosmin and Samida who are pioneering. And this is the family of Daniel and Vatutsa, because they are so into the things of God, and I could see how they're just going to bless so many people. And although in the church it had been how it was, and they were trying slowly, bit by bit, to try and get the people there, after we'd had dinner, they took us back to the train station and dropped us off. And it really blessed me, because as soon as we got in the car, they wound the windows up so nobody could hear and sort of tut. And they stuck this praise and worship tape in, and it was a British praise and worship tape. And Pastor Daniel and his wife, Vatutsa, they were singing the little lungs out in the car, and we were singing in the back, and that little car, it bounced to the train station. And when we left them, they wound the windows up again, and we could see them on the way off, all the way back. And it was just so wonderful, because they were so free in that worship. And I could see how they were desperate to try and bring that into that land, and I know that they will do that. That will happen, because that is what God is doing. He's raising people to sing a new song. So I want to have a look at Revelations 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. We're talking about a new name now, and this white stone. And I know Andrew's spoken about this before. And this here reminds me of, there was a program on the telly called The Monastery, where they took, I think it was half a dozen men went in there, was it five? Men went into the monastery for a certain length of time, and it was how they responded. The people in the monastery, they were such lovely men of God, they really were, they were so gentle with them. But at the end of the stay, there was this one young man. And he was in the soft porn industry. And he couldn't explain it, but he knew that he was different. He knew there was something there. He'd started to realise that there was a God. And it was getting too much for him, really. He was quite emotionally unstable. And he was trying to explain about this experience he'd had whilst they were having a morning prayer session and they'd been singing. And it had you could see he definitely met with God, because you could see how it had touched him, and he was quite tearful. And they had these little mentors, the monks were there, and this one monk, he said, before he was going out, because they'd finished, he said, I've got something to give you. And he gave him a white stone. And he told him about this verse and was sort of encouraging him, saying, you know, you've met with God and you are now a new person. This is your new identity. And at the minute, you might not be able to figure that out because he didn't know where he was going, how to respond, what he would do. And you could see he was getting all let up. And this little, he was so lovely to him. He said, you know, sometimes you don't need to look for an answer. You just know that you're on the path. And here's your new name. And whenever you need, sort of, you know, you just put your hand in your pocket and you think about that. And it showed you recently what had happened to these people and how their lives had gone. And this chap came back and he was really moving on. He was visiting churches and he was really getting, you know, to grips and he was with learning about God. He'd quit his job. But when he saw there was another guy who'd actually been in prison and he'd given his life back to the Lord, and he was going into prisons and he was speaking to people in prisons and he was preaching the good news. And was he called Martin, this fellow with the white stone? Was it
Tony?
And he said, so he saw this and he said, it's not good enough what I'm doing. I believe in God. I've heard about what God can do. He's doing that. I want to do something. So he said, you know, I might not be at that place there, but I'm going to start off with voluntary work. But I want to give back to God. And this was all through him realising that he had a new name and a new identity and he was a new creation. And it really blessed me that, to see that, because you don't have to know have all the answers, but if you know that God's doing something new in your life, then you just get on and go. We look at Revelations 5, and I want to read 9 to 14. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. This starts off in the heavenlies. They start to sing a new song. And by the end of it, every single living creature which is in the earth and under the earth and in it was singing that new song. And this is where we're getting to. We need to get. I look in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, and the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. That is just wonderful. God is about making all things new. He's a God of new things. That is the cry of his heart. We need to let him do a new thing in our lives. We need to pour new wine out of new wineskins. and see new fruit and food as food and healing to the nations. But it all starts with singing him a new song from your heart. And that's when you'll hear him call you by your new name.
Well, it's just something that the Lord gave me this morning, and it ties up with that scripture that Catherine was saying. And I really believe this is not just for me, it's for everybody, it's for this church. And this morning he said to me, as I come and sit with him at his table, I will not live in. If I don't sit with him at his table, I will not live in the fullness of his blessings. And that ties up with that scripture that Catherine's brought. We have to have an ear to hear what he's saying in this hour, because this hour is going to change things, and we have to listen to what he's saying, because it is a crucial hour. I've been moved seriously with what's happening throughout the world at this moment in time. And I believe this is what the Lord is saying here to me, as I come and sit with him at his table, because at that table there is prepared a banquet for his church. It's up to us whether we come and eat at it. And unless we take the food, we'll not be blessed. Will not live in the fullness of the blessings, because he has a plan and a purpose for this time and this hour. And we have to hear, as Catherine says, to hear what he's saying, so we can sing that new song, so that we can move in the prophetic, because it is an hour that God is moving.
Started some fresh thoughts on it, so I think God's trying to say something to us, reminding us that we have a new name.
Yes, we do.
And that new name, we have to carry it with us, and that, as Catherine said, that new name will open the doorways. That new name is like, take the ring off, Graham, please, put some bass on. That new name is like a security pass into a place where nobody is allowed other than those that have the pass.
Amen.
And that stone is the pass. You know, in today's technology, you'd have that stone and you'd put it into some device and it would read who you were.
Yeah.
And it would open the doorway and you can enter in.
Amen.
And that stone that God has given to us with our name opens the doorway, that we may press and enter in to a deeper understanding of God, to a higher level in God. And he wants us to use that. And it's caused me to think at this stage, and rethinking a few things on that area. And God will challenge us on those things to move us on. And as you were saying, we've got to learn to give.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just money, but I'm talking about give of ourselves, give of what we have, give of our time. We have not got to give to God stingily, begrudgingly. If you give begrudgingly and deceivingly, you'll have an Ananias and Sapphira situation. You may not drop dead, but your seed will. Your seed will. And God looks at the heart of the way you give.
Right.
You know, some, you can give your offering because you've got to do it and say, well, I'll give it. Or you can look at your offering and say, I'll give this. And it's an attitude of worship and thanksgiving unto God. Although it be small, but it's the way it's given. It's the way you give your time. It's the way you give your effort. It's the way you give of your abilities that God has given to you. And you might say, well, I don't get anything for giving that part of my time. I don't get anything for giving. Well, you're giving begrudgingly. So don't give. It's, you know, don't even offer it. Because God don't want it. Because God cannot bless what is given begrudgingly. God cannot bless what you give with resentment. He can't bless it. Because it has a curse already upon it. And so we have to come to God and we have to come, Lord, I'm giving. And you know something? You and I, in reality, owe nothing. You might think you do. We've got a bungalow. You know, it's all paid for. It's ours. Is it? What would happen if God came to me one day under grace and said, I want you to put it up for sale. I want you to sell it. And I want you to move out into rented accommodation. And I want you to give all the money into my work. I could stand there and argue, say, hang on, Lord. I worked 25 years for this. Long hours. Lot of effort. And you want me to give it? And God said, well, it's up to you whether you want to be blessed or not. But you see, we then say, well, I want to know what's behind that curtain. God says, no. You cannot see what's in the gift, in the parcel that God will give back to you until you've given, till your hands are empty. And our problem is we like to have things to hold. And it's learning to let go and let God. And I'm saying to you folks, you know, wherever you work, whatever you do, wherever you are, you've got to start to learn to give with your heart. Not your head. You've got to give with your heart. And if your heart's not willing to give, then sort your heart out with God. Because I'll tell you this, there's only one person that can provide for you and for me in these days, and that's God. The system's broke. Yeah, the system's broke. It's bankrupt. And everybody's relying on a bankrupt system. They're not going to look after you, but God is. God's not broke. He can do it. He can multiply, as Ken has said to you. But it's the way you give. And there is increase on its way, but it's the way you give. God has given you the stone. He's given you a new stone. He's given you a white stone. Vidalium is the name of the stone. God gave. It's manna. It's like manna. What is it? It's manna. It's God's blessing. And it will be there every day. Every day. It will be there. And all you've got to do is use your stone. And it's there. If you want, it's God's credit card. You know, before man invented credit cards, God had it. It was a white stone with your name on it. Never mind Visa, MasterCard, Delta and American Express. Have a Bedellium card. Have a Bedellium stone. It is, isn't it, yeah? Oh, shall we start one? Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right. So praise God. So be encouraged, you know. Get the heart moving. Moving beyond your understanding, beyond your thinking. Press back those thoughts that seek to drive you, to stop you from doing what God is calling you to do, and you will see yourself being blessed. Hallelujah, in such a wonderful way. Amen.